John chapter 12. I love verse 21. I know we read it this morning, but I love this. It says, the Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. That is the goal. That is, you know, people don't need religion. People don't need a pastor. They need a Savior. Now, once we have a Savior, a pastor may be handy to have, and a church is handy to have a church family. But we need a Savior. And they said, we would see Jesus. That's, to me, it's a huge statement. Jesus answered them. Philip and Andrew came to tell Jesus about the Greek request. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Remember, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem on this final leg of the journey, that he had his mind, his heart, his focus on Jerusalem, on the crucifixion. When he would go to minister to people, they could tell that he was not engaged with them because his mind was somewhere else. Have you ever talked to somebody, but you could tell they're not really present? And have you ever caught yourself not really being present? And so they could see that in Jesus, and they said, he's moved on. He's got something else to do. Now, of course, what he had to do, nobody could understand the gravity of what he was about to do. But he understood it. And so when they come to him about this request, he says, the hour's come, guys. The rest of the schedule's packed. That's what he's saying. We've got plans. We've got stuff to do. It's going to be so busy right now. Any other requests just have to be set aside. We're on task. In verse 24, verily, verily, I say to you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, and when you plant that seed, it's one seed, but out of that comes much, doesn't it? And not only does it come much, what else comes from that fruit? More seeds. And so, you know, Jesus says, look, if I've got to do what I've got to do to really get this thing going. And we take a step back to this morning's message in the first part of chapter 12. Passover, this feast, was exciting. Man, it was just a wonderful time celebrating the deliverance of God's people from Egypt and all of God had done, all the miracles along the way, their final entry to the promised land, all of that celebrated in Jerusalem at that feast. People from all around the world come because of that feast, and it's just fantastic. I remember being there on a Friday, so going into Sabbath, and everything's different on the Sabbath. But on leading up to that Sabbath, there's lots of celebrations. We were on the temple, going into the temple, and there were bar mitzvahs, and I mean, lots of music and dancing and laughter and lots of fun, balloons, and I mean, just a festival. And they do that regularly. But imagine what it would be at Passover. And that was a big deal, and Jesus was there for that. We already read about it, how he entered the city. They've got a busy time coming up. And he says here, I've got to die to accomplish my work. He didn't say it plainly, but that's what he said. He that loveth his life, verse 25, shall lose it. The more we try to hang on, the clearer we understand it's impossible to hang on to it. Now, we don't discourage going to the doctor and taking your vitamins and good nutrition and good health. We don't discourage those things. We don't really say that we're trying to hang on to life. It's not about hanging on to life. I just want to be healthy the whole time I'm here. Right? I just don't want to hurt any time while I'm here. I don't mind dying, but I want to be healthy right up to that moment. And I know we all feel the same way. Don't want to have any pain. But Jesus says the more we try to hang on to it, the more we see how fleeting it really is. Look back on life and those years. They just seem like a whisper, don't they? Like a wind that passed by. And we can only live in this moment. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you have the attitude that Christians should, that we can't wait to get to heaven, we want to go see Jesus, We want to be in the presence of the Father. We want to see all these beautiful sights that we sing about. Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, the sights I'll behold. Y'all know that song? And just can't wait to get to heaven and see all of our friends and celebrate with all of our friends. And it seems like the more we want it, the farther away it is. It's like, I just can't get there soon enough. Like if you're traveling somewhere and you're really trying to get there, it just seems like it takes forever. That's what he's saying. Seems like it takes forever to get there because that's what we anticipate. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, they want to meet you, Jesus. He says, look, I've got a schedule that's packed. I'm going to die. Out of that will come much. If they want to know me, tell them to fall in line. Follow me. Let's go. And where I am, there they'll be. But follow me. My Father will honor them if they follow me. And then we go down to verse number 32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. In John chapter 3, we recall that he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the cross. He was talking about being lifted up on that cross. And if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That was his perfect expression of love. Because he did it willingly. It wasn't that he got on the cross and decided, I'm going to go through with this. It was back before the foundations of the earth when the plan was hatched. And Jesus said, I'm going to do this. And all along as he came and as he walked, he knew what he was walking into. When he met with Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, what did they discuss? They discussed his death, burial, and resurrection. They knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He's leading to that moment. But it wasn't a decision he made at the last moment. It was a decision that he made before Adam sinned. He had that in his heart. He had that on his calendar before the fall of man. And he would draw all men. He wants everybody to be saved. Let me just touch on this because we don't talk about this much. But if you ever run into this idea that God picked the winners and the losers, understand that right here he said he'd draw all men. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. God didn't pick the winners and losers. He's given us all free will. He's given us each the opportunity to trust in him. Now, if we don't do it, that's on us, not him. But it says he'll draw all men. What did John say? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, of everybody, anybody that wants to be saved, anybody who sinned they want washed away can come to Jesus and be cleansed. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this he said, verse 33, signifying what death he should die. The people answered, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They didn't understand. We thought, you know, again, give yourself the mindset of that day, and they are not expecting a Savior to come riding in on a colt into Jerusalem. They're expecting a king to come riding in on a stallion. They're not expecting a humble messenger from God to die on the cross. They're expecting, as Peter would show us by drawing the sword, they're expecting revolution. We, you know, a lot of times in our mindset of what should be done and how it should be gone about, we have to remember to whom we belong. His method is not violence. His method is not aggression. His method is the message of hope and love and forgiveness. That's what it's about. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. You see, there were people in his presence who had not decided yet if they were going to follow. They were there, but they hadn't decided they were going to give all. They hadn't decided they were going to surrender. There are plenty of people who want to go to heaven instead of hell. But at some point, we have to decide if we're going to follow Jesus. And he said, if you want the Father to glorify you, follow me. Go with me. You want to see where I'm going? Go with me. The invitation's open. But you got to choose the light while the light's here. There may come a time, as much as we've just expressed, that God wants everyone to be saved, there may come a time when the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to move on from this one. He said no. She said no. Enough. I believe them. They don't want it. And what happens then? Jesus said, catch the light or walk with the light while the light's here. If you right now you are feeling compelled by God to put your faith in Him and receive the forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, don't wait. Now, pray and say, God, I believe. God, I trust you. God, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Forgive my sins and save my soul. I give my life to you. God, right now I trusted you. Don't wait. Jesus said, while the light is here, lest darkness come upon you. He that walketh in darkness knows not where he goeth. You see, there are people, why would anybody reject Christ? I could tell you one reason, because they don't know where they're going. And they wouldn't reject him because nobody wants eternity separated from God. But they don't know it. That's what he said. They don't know it. Verse 36, while you have the light, believe the light, that you may be the children of light. This is our opportunity. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Isn't it tragic that people are afraid of what they'll lose and not mindful of what they'll gain? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If I've ever read a statement in the Bible that fits what's going on today, that's it right there. Popularity. Popularity. Verse 44, we're finished. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Our faith in Christ determines our eternity. And you're the only one who can save you. You're the only one who can pray and ask God's forgiveness. You say, well, I think Jesus saved you. You're right. But you're the only one who can ask him to save you. We say prayers. We say, oh, God, touch, you know, this one over here and that one over there and draw them to you that they'll be saved. Well, he wants them to get saved. He wants them to get saved more than we want them to get saved. We don't have to ask God to save them. He wants to do it. And it's by our life before them, our example, our ministering, that maybe they're drawn a little bit closer, and maybe that they see that all Christians are not, they don't match that mentality that they have, that illustration or that picture they have painted in their mind of what a Christian is. Because the truth is, a lot of people know Christians that aren't very Christian. They know a lot of church people that don't act like Jesus. They don't love like Jesus. They don't hope like Jesus. They don't forgive like Jesus. They hold grudges. They're angry. They're mean. They're wicked and nasty and sinful, hypocritical and lying. And they say, I don't want any part of that. If we want people to get saved, then we need to live like Christ. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. I pray that you'll give us this week to make a difference, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, that we will show forth your praise and minister the gospel effectively. Dismiss us from this service now in Jesus' name. Amen.